Have a look at verse 16 and notice what the Bible says there. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Let's go before the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you this evening and we thank you for the singing that we're able to come and sing before you. We thank you for the special. We thank you, Father, for those that had ministered to our hearts just wonderfully, encouraged our hearts, reminded that, Lord, your word shall stand. Father, we're so thankful for that promise. We thank you, Lord, that we have every word with us and that we can build upon that. Father, for if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We would have no hope if it weren't for your word. Father, tonight we ask and pray that you'd help us with this topic, this subject of pride, and how it's the first among the list that you've mentioned that you hate. We ask and pray that you'd help us understand that and help us to respond to your word tonight, every single one of us. And by your word tonight, we ask that you'd humble us, because by nature we are prideful people. And so we need your help. And I know, Lord, this is the first step in having your grace in our lives to admit. And so we do tonight admit that we need you to edge this message in our hearts and help us see the reality of this sin that you detest. Father, that we may be a people that would lean upon your grace and be led by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 6:16, the Lord begins to say here, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. These seven detestable sins by God provide a profound glimpse simply into the life of sinful men. We see what God hates. We see that God does not only love, but he hates. God hates. And we see that he doesn't only hate, but he calls it an abomination. Abomination is something that is disgusting, outrageous, revolting, and disgraceful. Pride is disgusting in the sight of God, and he hates it. Hate is something that no one really likes to hear, not from God anyways, but God hates sin. As a matter of fact, it put Christ on the cross. Judgment was upon the Lord because of our sin. That's how much God hates it. He had to judge it. And we just have to see what Christ went through to see how much God hates sin. True Christianity and true love involves a hatred for sin and for error. 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 and verses 6, the essence of love is, notice if you will, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. True love does not rejoice in sin or iniquity, but rejoices in truth. God, who is the source of love, and no doubt the definition of love, hates some things, and we as his peculiar people also must hate that which God hates. Notice, if you will, the psalmist with me. Notice Psalm 119. If you'll turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 119. Have a look at verses 119. Notice what the Bible says there. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Notice 113. I hate, what is it? vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Psalm 119, 128, notice this. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I, what's the word? Hate every false way. Psalm 119, 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. And see, what the Lord would have us to do is hate unrighteousness and love righteousness. For that's who God is. That's what true Christianity is. Let's look at the first thing here. He talks about that he hates, and it's a proud look. Now, when we think about, you know, disgusting sins, when we think about things that are simply abhorred and revolting and disgusting, we think about what kind of sins? Adultery, murder, pornography perhaps, fornication, sodomy, rape. And all these things are no doubt wicked. They are. The Bible says in 1 John, sin is the transgression of the law. All these things are transgression against the law. But our problem with sin goes deeper than just simple acts of disobedience against God's law. It's a purely manifestation of the inner fleshly nature. It is the core of all sin, which is the act of pride in our life. See, it's pride that causes us to disobey the law of God. It's pride that causes us to rebel against God. Pride says, I'm in charge. I do what I want to do. That's pride. And that's the very core of sin. Proverbs 21:4, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Pride was the cause of Satan's fall and caused the first rebellion right from the beginning. Notice, if you will, in Isaiah, turn with me quickly to Isaiah. Isaiah 14. And notice verse 12. Notice what the Bible says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, notice these things, I will ascend in the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Look at now. I will be like the Most High. Pride pushes us to take the place of God. And God hates it.
Right.
All the way from the beginning. Lucifer lifted up his heart and wanted to be like the Most High God. Pride is to be lifted up, or to lift oneself up. Pride wants to be first and the best. Pride, someone said, is the dust defying itself. The valiant of an empire once said, listen to this, I cannot deny that my master was vain. He had to be the center figure in everything. If he went to a religious christening, he wanted to be the baby. If he went to a wedding, he wanted to be the bride. If he went to a funeral, he wanted to be the dead corpse. Pride wants to be first, noticed, the best, the pride of life. William MacDonald said, the pride of life is an unholy ambition for self-display and self-glory. The pride of life is a characteristic of the world that is in rebellion against God. And God hates it. As a matter of fact, it's an abomination to him. He sees the world lies in wickedness, living in the pride of life, taking stands that they want to be the first and idol, and they want to be using their God-given talents to have the praise of men. And unfortunately, even in religion, the pride of life is characterized in rebellion against God, taking God's place. A man of God once said, as you desire to love God and love man, beware of pride. It is the tumor in the mind that breaks and poisons all thy actions. It is the worm in thy treasure which eats and ruins thy estate. It loves no man, is beloved of no man. It criticizes virtue in another by detraction. It disrewards goodness in itself by vainglory. It is the friend of the flatterer, the mother of envy, the nurse of fury, the sin of devils, and the devil of mankind. It hates superiors, it scorns the inferior, it owns no equals. In short, till you hate it, God hates thee. Matthew Henry said, God sees the pride in the heart and hates it there. God hates pride. Now, in first place, I want you to notice pride keeps us from doing what is biblically right. Have a look, if you will, in Psalm 10. Psalm 10. Go to Psalm 10 and notice verse 4. Pride is what keeps us from seeking after God. Notice what the Bible says there. The wicked through what? Psalm 10. Verse 4. The wicked through pride of his own countenance will not seek after God. God is not in awe their thoughts. Pride keeps us from seeking after God. Pride will keep us from humbling ourselves before God. It will keep us from confessing sin before God. It will keep us from repenting and turning to God. But second of all, tonight, notice pride is what keeps man from obeying God's word. Notice Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Have a look at verse 21. Psalm 119. And look at verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Pride is what keeps us from obeying God's word. It is a curse. Pride is a curse and veers us away from the very words of God and keeps us from obeying the word of God. In other words, let me just say, pride keeps us from forgiving others. It is a command in the Word of God that we would forgive others. I was speaking with someone just the other day and they said they found it very hard to forgive a particular sin in someone's life. And I said, that's pride. I said, I don't see it. I don't see how that's pride. Well, the commandment of the Lord is that we would forgive. And you know, it is easy to forgive once you see how much you have been forgiven. Remember that creditor, the parable about the debtor that was in debt, and he was in debt head over his heels, and he was forgiven of all his debt, and then someone owed him a small debt, and he would not forgive it. We are all indebted toward God. And if we are to forgive others, then we must humble ourselves before God. See, pride keeps us from keeping the word of God. That's what it does. It keeps us from forgiving others. Notice, pride keeps us from submitting to God-given authority. When you don't submit to God-given authority that is placed in your life, that's pride. It's a curse that keeps us away from the word of God. Look at, pride is what keeps us from loving God and others, because that's the supreme, isn't it? First, love God with all thy what? Heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if we don't, the root of the problem is pride, because we naturally want to love self. And so we see pride keeps us from seeking God. Pride is what keeps us from obeying God. But notice now, pride can cause many troubles in our lives. Number one, pride brings a fall and destruction. Have a look at Proverbs 16 quickly. Proverbs 16. Proverbs Look at verse 18. Notice what the Bible says. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. D.L. Moody said, be humble before you stumble.
Yeah, that's good.
And for human beings like us, it's hard to be humble because, again, pride is embedded in us. You know, we are prideful people. And to be humbling ourselves is a hard task for us. And so when we live in pride, or when we see pride, we can be certain, look at, a fall is coming. We can be certain that there is a fall to come when we continue to live in pride, or we see pride in our lives. The devil fell from his high position as an anointed cherub. He was an anointed cherub, and he fell from his position. King Saul was king, and he fell from his position, and then he fell upon his sword. And that's what pride does. I mean, we don't see it to be destructive, then we just... And that's why God hates it, because it is destructive. It causes destruction in other people's lives, and it causes destruction in our lives. Eve fell when she believed the devil's lie that she could be a god. It's where it started, right from the beginning. I want to be like God. And that's the problem. That's the underlining problem with every single one of us. That we want to be a little G God roaming around doing what we... Remember what pride says, I do what I want to do. And I don't submit to no authority. Pride. But it brings a fall. And it brings destruction. Nebuchadnezzar fell and ate grass when he became puffed up in his pride and took credit for building Babylon. Go with me to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, notice verse 30. Daniel 4, notice verse 30. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was within the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to him whomsoever he will. And so pride ends up in a fall and destruction. The book of Esther tells us about a man named Haman, that his pride resulted in a fall and destruction. Herod's pride also resulted into destruction. Notice Acts 12:21. Notice what the Bible says. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat down his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a what? It is the voice of a God, and not a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. But number two, pride brings shame. Pride brings shame. Notice with me to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 verse 2. Notice what the Bible says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The proud person walks in their self-confidence and they are certain that they're right and that they will be proven to be right, but in reality, they're on the path of shame because pride leads to bad decisions. But with the lowly is wisdom. You know, it takes humility to submit to the wisdom of God and to the Word of God. It takes humility. Because pride resists God's way. But humility embraces it. And for those that don't embrace the wisdom and the Word of God, and they resist it because of pride, the end thereof is what? Shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Now, number three, pride brings what? Strife. Notice Proverbs 28:25 quickly. Proverbs 28:25. Notice what the Bible says there. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up what? What is it? Strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat or satisfied, content. Now humility tends to produce peace, but whereas pride brings strife and brings about hostility and trouble. And so you can be sure that pride brings about contention that is unnecessary, that causes division. You know, if we look, if you go back to Proverbs 6, have a look at Proverbs 6, please. And you look at these six things that he mentions, and yes, seven is an abomination unto him. This pride that causes strife and thus division. Pride brings discord and division, and God hates it. I really believe that these six first things that are listed, and pride being the first, are the very things that God hates that causes division among the brethren. And God says that is an absolute abomination. Pride causes division between families. Pride causes division between husband and wives. Pride causes divisions in relationships. Pride causes division in a church. It's because of pride brings contention and strife for selfish gain and selfish ambitions. I really believe these six things, a pride look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift to running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, are the very key things that will sow discord among the brethren. And the Bible says God hates it. He detests it. God hates sin. And God hates pride. And pride brings division, and God hates it. You can be rest assured that if there's pride in your life, there is going to be a fall, and there is going to be destruction, there is going to be shame, and there is going to be, you know, strife in your life that cause division, and you don't want that. Because sometimes to mend things back again takes time. And humility. Pride brings destruction, division, strife, shame. Notice, but the worst thing of all, and I'm talking about the worst thing of all. Pride in a person's life is resisted by God. Imagine that. You know, the pride that keeps us from seeking after God, the pride that keeps us from keeping his word to forgive, love, submit with authority. Pride that simply destroys. Pride that brings shame. Pride that brings contention and division in our lives is the very thing that God says, I'm going to resist you. Pride in our lives brings about a resistance from our God. And that is the worst thing to live in our Christian life. Isn't it? When our head is plucked up like that, and it's just our nose are up in the air, and God, I don't know if this happens to you, but it happens to me, he tries to bend our head, and we resist. And he wants to humble us before his holy hand. The Bible says, humble yourself. Why do you want to be resisted from God? But we just don't want to submit. We just don't want to forgive. It's just a battle. But in the end is destruction, fall, shame, division, problems, trouble, anguish, despair, eating grass like an animal. Why? When we can just sweetly humble ourselves before God's hand and God gives us grace to continue to walk with him. And how sweet is that? Amen. You know, the worst thing that can ever happen as a Christian, that God resists you and doesn't give you grace for the race. Doesn't give you grace to continue fighting the good fight and walking with God and growing into his image. Instead, you're just eating grass. Instead, you just keep down and out. And instead, you just keep resisting. And it's a bad battle. God's grace can liberate us, but we need to humble ourselves before God's hand. And that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? I think that's the most, scariest thing. To walk the Christian walk and not have God's grace in my life to do it. God gives grace to who? And resists who? We can see a picture of this happen with the two thieves that were crucified amongst Christ. One of them, save yourself. Did you know God didn't even look at him? He didn't even speak to him. Who did he speak to? Who did he show grace to? The one that was humbled and realized that he was the problem. But the other one was resisted. Can't even hear you. Don't even know what's going on. Did you know our prayers can hit the ceiling and come back down as Christians when we regard iniquity in our hearts? And the iniquity of pride just come back down. Man, can I just say this? You're bitter towards your wife. Pride resists the prayers to go up to God as a sweet smelling savor. Your prayers will be hindered. You'll be resisted. Everything you pray, God says, now humble yourself and be not bitter towards your wife. See, pride keeps us from obeying the very word of God. Pride keeps us from seeking God and seeking his word and submitting ourselves under divine authority. Because by nature we're rebels. And the core of it is pride. I don't know if animals have pride. Do you think animals have pride? Have you ever fed the seagulls? Yeah. And then there's always that one or two that just puts his head to the ground and doesn't want that one. I always thought he had a chopped leg, but someone said that they rest like that. And I always wanted to give the food to the one that had, I thought, a chopped leg. But someone said that's how they rest. Yeah. The poor, the humble, the one with the resting leg. You want to give it, you find where it goes, oh, there it is. And then you got the other one screaming. I get that chip and peg it. I peg it at it. I do, get away. But that one, the one that deceived me with the resting leg, God resists us when we're prideful. And that ought to scare us. Listen, that ought to scare the day. I mean, really, that ought to scare us. God resists who? But give grace to the humble. Have a look quickly, if you will, to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. And have a look at verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the who? Lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. We know that's talking about those that do not know the Lord. But God's people, if do not humble themselves before the Lord, can also be resisted and miss out on more grace. You know, that part of the reason why Paul the Apostle had a thorn in the flesh was the fact that he would be humbled under the hand of the mighty God, that God will give him the grace to finish his course. And sometimes that's what it takes. Regardless, Paul knew that this infirmity was a blessing in disguise, because it kept him humble for the grace of God to fall upon him afresh. We need the grace of God. God gives more grace when we humble ourselves before his mighty hand, before God's hand. Someone said, God wisely designed the human body so that we can neither pat our own backs or kick ourselves too easily. You know, when we humble ourselves before God, he knows how to really put us down without destroying us. When man tries to humble us, they destroy us. But when God humbles you, when you submit yourself before God, he knows how to humble you and keep you there by his grace, that in due time he may lift you up. Amen? Amen. In closing, we must remember that God hates and abhors pride. It's been said, pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the one who has it. It's true, isn't it? Isn't it? So, but what is the what's the remedy? For me to begin to detest and hate pride in my own life. What's the remedy? Well, turn with me to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. And have a look at verse 13. This is the remedy. This is the solution, if you will. To have a heart that hates pride and sin and hate the very things that God hates. It's right here. Notice verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. It's right there. The fear of the Lord. And remember what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. The whole duty of man is to what? Number one, and takes humility. But it takes a love for God. Listen, and putting God in the right place where he ought to be. To fear and reverence and respect God, something that the devil didn't do. You know what's a good indication that we fear the Lord? We really fear the Lord, and if we don't have this, then we need to be very, very, you know, afraid, scared. A good indication that we fear the Lord is when we tremble at His word. Listen, if this short, sweet, sharp message didn't help you swallow a little of your pride and fear before God, and there's something wrong, and you're in big trouble. I'm talking big trouble. If we're not choked up by the Holy Spirit of God, because if we're not, we're resisting the Spirit of God, and that's pride. And I'm telling you, we're in big trouble if we start doing that. We're almost desensitized. And may God help us to stay humble before His word and tremble and fear the Lord and put Him in the right place of our lives. Why? Why? So we can have grace. So we don't have to fall into destruction, and so that we don't have to stand unashamed, and so that we can have, look at, sweet unity in our marriage and families and churches. But at last, let me just say, so we can have grace upon us and sweet fellowship with God. Sweet fellowship with God. Do you want sweet fellowship with your Savior and with Jesus Christ walking in this earth? You want sweet fellowship? Sweet fellowship. Hate pride. Fear God. Tremble at His word. And you'll have sweet fellowship. Everything will begin to fall into place as you fear God. Listen, the Proverb 30 woman was a woman, 31 woman was praised. Why? Why? Because of her beauty? Because of her favor? No. Because she feared God. She feared God. And to fear God is to hate what He hates. And God hates, abhors, detests pride, arrogancy, stubbornness. It's the sin of witchcraft. It is evil. It is disgusting, disgraceful to God. And we need to say, God, I want to hate pride in my life. And I want you to humble me before your hand. Because I don't want to fall. I don't want destruction to meet me. I don't want to stand shameful in that day. I don't want to be someone that always causes division and contention and trouble. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.